Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Good. Well, Christmas is just about over. That's kind of sad, isn't it? Huh?
So is our winter break.
What? And so is winter break. I'm not sure which is winter break or Christmas. Both of them are kind of sad when they end, aren't they? Yeah. Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah.
Did you? Mm-hmm. I'm just guessing now that you probably received some gifts. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you receive some gifts that perhaps you were expecting?
A lot.
Oh, good. How about a few surprises?
Oh, yeah, that too.
Not you. You had everything nailed down ahead of time, huh? Well, that was fun. Did all your dreams came true then on Christmas, huh? I mean, as far as gifts go. Maybe there were one or two that didn't show up, but...
No, it's not mostly clothes.
Mostly clothes. You don't like clothes, do you? Oh, yeah. It's like this. And what did you get for Christmas?
I got clothes, too, and a model rocket and a few board games.
A model rocket. Oh, that sounds... Does it actually fire, like go up in the air? That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Do that outside. Okay? Yeah. Have you ever asked yourself, why do we exchange gifts at Christmas time?
Why?
It's fun. That's right. And I assume, of course, you also gave gifts, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Goes both ways. And who do we normally give gifts to?
Friends and family.
Friends and family. Uh-huh. And the gifts are meant to say something, right? What do you think they're meant to say? What do you want to say to your friends and family when you give them a gift, huh? Are you trying to say, I don't like you?
No.
No. What are you trying to say? Maybe that you do like them, that you appreciate them, that you love them. Maybe that's what, yeah, I think that's important when you give a gift, sure. They are a way of expressing something about us to our friends and loved ones, aren't they? Sure, sure. Well, Christmas, of course, we give gifts because they represent God's gift to us. And who is God's gift to us? Jesus, that's right. Jesus is God's. That's why we give gifts at Christmas. We all know that, right? That's why. Because they are a symbol of the greatest gift. Now, you got clothes for Christmas, and you got a rocket. And, well, we all got something. But eventually, what's going to happen to those gifts? They'll get too small for you. They'll wear out, and they'll wind up in a garage sale or maybe at the Assistance League or someplace, and they'll go away. And they won't last. That's not the way God's gift is, okay? That's not the way God's gift is. So I want you to follow me because I want to talk about God's gift to you, okay? So follow me. We're going to go this way. This way. Now, what do we have here?
A shell.
We have a shell. It's a great big surreal shell, too. We had this. Yeah, it came from Northern California someplace. This shell contains what?
Water.
Water. And what happens here? What do we do here?
We baptize.
We baptize. That's right. And when we baptize, God is doing something. He does it through us, but he's doing something. And what he's doing is he's giving us something very important here. He's giving us, well, you all know the answer to this, right? He's giving us Jesus. He's giving us the gift that we celebrate at Christmas. This is where it gets to be personal, see? So when you were baptized, God gave you the greatest gift, Jesus. And unlike our clothes and our other gifts we received at Christmas, that gift will never wear out. You know, he will always be with us. That's the promise that he makes. He'll be with us now and always. So the greatest gift is Jesus, given to us at Christmas and given to us personally in baptism. That's where that happens. So I hope you enjoy your Christmas gifts and have fun with them. Huh? Don't shoot that rocket off in the house.
He doesn't.
Okay, off you go. Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What was Christmas for? What was it for? It's kind of a basic question, one of those questions that may be often easy to kind of slip by, you know. Why Christmas? Why was Christ given to us at Christmas? Well, we have some help, of course, with answering that question with the scriptures, and that's what they do. They give us insight and help in understanding why Christ came. And there's a little expression in the gospel this morning that kind of carries the clues. It's not a direct answer to the question, but it carries the words that really point to the fundamental issue. And that phrase is this one: the law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. In that little phrase, John is really kind of getting at the heart of the whole matter, the crux of the matter. Before Jesus, the legal scheme was all we were stuck with in trying to get along in this world, and as the scriptures tell us, in justifying ourselves before God and one another, you know, demonstrating our value. You know, you have to be good for something in this world, right? You got to be good for something. That's what the legal scheme is all about. When John says the law was given through Moses, he's really kind of taking a step back and he's saying, I want you to look back at everything before Christ and realize that that whole way of being in the world was based on the legal scheme. That is to say, the demand that you justify yourself, that you be good for something. One of the Bible terms for that is righteousness, that you be righteous. The last time you were at coffee at Starbucks or at Pete's or someplace, you know, did the issue of righteousness come up in the conversation? Not too often these days. No, we don't think in those terms so much. But if we live with a concern for how God sees us, not just our neighbors, our families, friends, business associates, and so forth, but if we live with a consciousness of how we are perceived by God, then the term righteousness can have some significance. Because the scriptures tell us quite clearly that that is the expectation for human beings. We are created to be something special in this world. We're a creature above all the others. And one of the things that really distinguishes us from the animals, the other animals, is the capacity for righteousness. There are other ways of talking about that, of being good and not bad, of being conscious of love and its impact and also its counterpoint, hate. And to make choices that are consistent, you see, with being that kind of a creature that does no harm, but that actually does good. That's a righteous person, someone who is concerned for those things. Not because necessarily a lot of other people might be, but because as someone who lives under the eye of God, in the presence, in the reality of God, there is an understanding, this is what I was made for. That is my job description, you know, to be righteous. Now, that word has kind of a holier than thou ring to it sometimes, doesn't it? We hear that kind of a term, you can think, well, you know, he thinks he's so righteous. Well, we have to kind of move beyond that sort of characterization. It's a good word. It's a wonderful word. The struggle we have with it, of course, is real because of the unrighteousness that is so prominent and characteristic of life, and sometimes my life and sometimes yours, but it's a great word. But the problem that John wants us to get at in the gospel this morning, and the way in which this works as far as Jesus is concerned and his coming, is John, in that little phrase, wants to remind us all that before Jesus came, the only possibility we had for righteousness before God and our neighbor was to keep the law perfectly. And that's a tall order. But now that Christ has come, John says, grace and truth have been let out of the bag. Grace. Lutherans talk a lot about grace. No, not the girl that I knew in college, not that grace. The amazing grace that the wonderful hymn sings about, you know? Who was the author of that hymn? Did I hear it? Newton, John Newton, based in England, and he ran slaves on the African trade routes. And somewhere along the way in his life, he heard a preacher talk about grace and Christ and forgiveness and a new life. And kaboom, the lid went off, and he was a new person. And in the wake of that wonderful transformation, he wrote the hymn we all know as Amazing Grace. Well, that's what Lutherans are all about. We're about grace. That's what we love to talk about. Grace, you see. Not law. That's important. I mean, we have to be conscious of our job description. But since that's no longer really possible for us to live up to, God has done something better. He has come not in a legal scheme, but in grace, in Jesus. So when he says the law came through Moses, grace and truth came in Jesus Christ, he's really talking about two paradigms of being a person of faith, a believer. We are no longer people of the law who are constantly running around trying to justify ourselves in some way or other before God and the neighbor. We are now people of grace, faith, truth. Christ has brought that as a gift to us, as a gift to us. Now, there's lots of fancy ways to talk about this in the New Testament. You can read most of it in Romans. That's where Paul really unloads this and unpacks it all and lays it out in great detail. But essentially, what we're talking about when we talk about grace, that God's grace has been given to us, is that we're saying that God's approval, God has reckoned to us the goodness of Jesus and made it our own. Another good way of talking about grace is it is God's favor toward us. You know, have you ever asked somebody to do me a favor? Well, in the original meaning of that expression, it really means, will you give something of yourself to me? Will you favor me with your self in some fashion? Because if you do a favor for someone, what do you have to give, ultimately? Something of yourself. So when we talk about grace, what we're saying is God has favored us with the goodness of Christ. He has given us himself. And as I talked with the kids a moment ago, that's what God does in baptism. That's why we call it in our theology as Lutherans, a means of what? Grace. In baptism, God favors us with the gift of himself. And we call that gift the Holy Spirit. That's what is given for Christ's sake. He gives his very life to us. Now, that would be something, wouldn't it, to give a favor to someone who you like. You know, see my neighbors here this morning. I'm from Port Westbourne. I know if I really needed help, I could walk down the street, knock on the door. I have a favor to ask, and I'm sure they would say, what do you need? And I do the same for them. Now, what happens if that kid who used to beat me up in high school comes to the door one day? Can you do me a favor? Sure. I'll give you one like you gave to me. You see, we're not quite so quick, are we, to want to give favors to those whom we don't really like or love or respect or care about. And so the New Testament tells us, as it reflects on this great gift of Jesus, while we were yet sinners, remember that verse? Christ died for us. The amazing thing about the grace we see in Christ The favor that he gives, the very self that he gives to us, is that he gives it to those who are not righteous. Or we could say, who really are not deserving, you know. If you think of it this way, who would God share his very life with? We're talking about the living God here. Who would the living God actually share his life with, his very life? Well, you might say, well, an archangel, I don't know, somebody up in heaven, somebody who's passed the litmus test, you know, somebody who's worthy to stand around the throne and say, you're great, you're wonderful. And maybe with a creature like that, God might share his life. But no, the gospel tells us that he has shared his life with us. And I don't need to go through the litany of reasons why I don't deserve to share the life of God any more than I need to remind you of your own list, because you've all got them and so have I. But that's the glorious good news of Christmas, isn't it? That's the gospel, is that Christ has come in humility and lowliness and gentleness and in his grace to be with us. Us. And that means, in the fundamental, most basic fundamental sense of the good news, that God is for us, not against us. Life is for us, not against us. In spite of all the evidence that you and I can marshal to the contrary, life is still a good and gracious gift. Faith believes that. Faith affirms that. Faith clings to that. In the midst of struggle, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of problems and disappointments and all the things that life can throw at us, we look at Christ Jesus and we say, yes, but God is for us. Life is fundamentally a gift that is for us. It is for us. It has been favored to us. And lots of other things we could talk about as far as the difficulties and conflicts in life, and they're real. We have talked about those here over the years, and we will continue to do so. But at Christmas time, we really want to focus in on this separation that has taken place now in the way God chooses to see us. No longer placing us under the demand of the righteous law, be this or else, but now coming in his very Son, giving that Son to the world, even to death on a cross, and then all the goodness and righteousness and beauty that was in Christ, all of that God favors us with. He gives that to us as a gift. That's the gospel. That's the good news. It asks nothing from us. Well, we have to do something, don't we? And the answer is, what do you have in mind? No, of course not. He has given himself. God can't give any more to us than that, himself. Like a parent gives to the child, like the lover gives to the beloved. You want to give the essence of what is most important to the one you love, and that is yourself. That's what God has done in Jesus. He has given himself to us. That's what he does in your baptism, and that's what he is going to do here in a few minutes as you receive the bread and the wine of the supper. He comes among us with his grace to favor us, to be among us, to be with us, to be for us, so that in spite of all the contradictions, all the questions, all the conundrums, all the difficulties, the problems, the uncertainties that life throws at us, here is one certainty that will never fail us, and that is God in Christ Jesus is for us. And that means that the world ultimately will be a place where lions will live with lambs, where tears will be dried, where peace will dominate, and a gentle rule of God's love will fill everything. God has favored us with his grace, taken us out of the realm of law and demand, and put us now into the kingdom of his beloved Son, where his grace and his goodness, his mercy, his love, his forgiveness are all the gifts of the gospel that he pours out for us freely, without cost, without charge, without expectation, that we might know that he is for us, that we live in the framework, in the power, we are held in the grip of his love in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this good day of grace, and that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, our Maker and Redeemer. Amen.